God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking His mercy. By now you know that is Pope Francis who said these words. And this week will be the 1 year anniversary of his being elected as our Pope. So we should listen again. I hope that throughout this Lent we can explore these words, not just on the surface, but in their depth. And today I'd like to focus particularly on why it is that we tire of seeking His mercy. I think we can acknowledge that it's true, we do this, we tire of turning to God, but why? On Ash Wednesday I mentioned a few things that keep us from turning to Him. Perhaps on some level we do not trust Him fully, so we hold something back from Him. Or perhaps we buy the lie that we aren't good enough to return to God, so we hide from Him. Those are battles that we may struggle with deep down in the depths of our hearts. They're very worth talking about, bringing before the Lord in prayer, in confession, spiritual direction. Today I'd like to focus on another reason why perhaps we tire of seeking God's mercy. One that's a bit closer to the surface. But we need to be aware of it and expose it for what it is. Sometimes we tire of seeking God's mercy simply because it's easier to ignore sin and pretend it doesn't exist than to deal with it. Yes, acknowledging that we have sinned means that we also acknowledge that we ought to change. When we bring our sin before the Lord, we admit what we've done. We take responsibility for our actions. We admit that we are not who we ought to be. And it's not so easy. It's much easier to ignore sin than to face it. That's probably why our default seems to be to make excuses for ourselves, to justify our actions. We say things like, well, anyone else in my situation would have done just the same thing that I did. Or it's not my fault. It's so-and-so's fault. Or it's the fault of this situation that was beyond my control. Or we say, I just couldn't help myself. And if it's not our fault, then we can't, or at least we shouldn't, feel guilty. And that's what sometimes we are after. It's a true statement that if something's not our fault, we shouldn't feel guilty. But quite frankly, sometimes we feel guilty because, well, we are guilty. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. It's actually designed to be uncomfortable. God made that feeling so that we could be motivated to change. We sometimes do all that we can to get rid of the bad feeling of guilt, everything except face the source of the guilt itself, our sin. What often happens, what we often do, is we tend to ignore sin and we then lose the sense of sin. We pretend it doesn't exist and then magically it doesn't seem to affect us anymore. What is happening really is that our conscience gets deadened. Now our culture is great at promoting this and encouraging us to do this. But what really happens when we allow that conscience to fall asleep, if you will, is that the reality of sin is still there. It's just transferred, it's moved, it's pushed deeper and deeper, shoved into the background. While at the same time we might convince ourselves that we are more free. But something is happening on the inside that we don't necessarily see or notice on the outside. It would be like a man, a stubborn man, who might have some blood work done and the lab calls him and says, well, we have some serious concerns and we'd like you to come in for a more thorough examination. And the stubborn man says, well, I don't need that. There's nothing wrong with me. I feel fine. I am fine. In the meantime, however, what he feels does not change the reality of what's going on in his body, does it? Perhaps he had a cancer that might have been easily treatable. But he ignores it, and it advances to the point of no return. That's exactly what happens when we lose the sense of sin. The cancer is not only still there, but even worse, we have missed our opportunity to treat it. So often we think that the problem is guilt. And so the remedy is the quickest route to eliminating guilt, pretending that there is no such thing as sin. But our conscience is still at work. We cannot kill the conscience any more than we can kill God. The remedy is not ignoring sin. The remedy is the peace that Jesus gives us through His forgiveness. So, desiring forgiveness, we need to take a good, hard look at sin. Not somebody else's sin, not your spouse's sin, the person sitting next to you, but your own, my sin, the choices I've made. And the devil knows a lot about sin. He is an expert in it. As we see in the temptation in the desert, he knows how to go to the heart of our human dysfunction. And he is trying to allure Jesus into some of those three major areas that we fall into. We've talked about this before. Three P's: pleasure, prestige, and power. Those are the things, the general categories of things that allure us, the things that can lead us to sin. So bodily pleasures. How much Jesus would have wanted to taste a nice warm loaf of bread after 40 days of fasting. And prestige. The devil holds up before him, well, if you jump and the angels save you, all the people will see it. We're here at the temple. And you will be famous and everyone will love you. Wouldn't you want that? And power. The devil says to Jesus, I will give you rule over all the kingdoms of the earth. Peoples will bend to your will. Oh, and wouldn't you love that? These are the temptations the devil lays before Jesus. They represent, of course, all of the temptations that we face in our daily lives. In fact, Scripture says that Jesus was tempted in every way, but remained without sin. Now, we are tempted. We know that we do not remain without sin. But let's look at Adam and Eve to see what the consequence of sin is. We didn't hear it in today's reading, but immediately following, what happens is Adam and Eve, after their fall, they hide from God. It's fascinating, isn't it? Adam and Eve hide from God after they were disobedient. They were afraid. They had no idea how He was going to react. They'd never had to ask for mercy before. But they act with fear. And oh, how we hide from God too, in our fear. But though we may hide from God, we can never be hidden from God. Though we may lose the sense of sin and hide in it, God still looks at us and says, same thing He said to Adam and Eve, who told you were naked? In other words, who told you to be ashamed? You have chosen something other than me then, haven't you? Some other, you have gone against my commandments. But hide as you like, you cannot escape my notice, God says. Now that's kind of a scary thought for us sometimes. But it's also true to say that same thing in an entirely different way, an entirely new light. Though we may hide from God due to our sin and due to our shame, God doesn't hide from us. Okay, sometimes when we hide from people, they're relieved that we're hiding from them. Oh good, I don't have to talk to Father Dave because he went down a different aisle in the grocery store, right? Sometimes we're relieved when people hide from us. God is not relieved when we hide from Him. In fact, He comes to search us out and to find us. God never tires of forgiving. We should never tire of seeking His forgiveness. We should never hide from Him. Now, I want to add one more thing that the Pope said about never tiring, and he said it to the pastors of the Church. He said, we want to assist the faithful with tenderness and understanding in the wonderful sacrament of confession, to make them feel the Good Shepherd's love precisely in this gift. I ask you, the Pope says to the pastors, to not tire of inviting people to encounter Christ in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. God doesn't tire of forgiving us. We should not tire of seeking His mercy. The pastor should not tire of inviting people to experience it in the sacrament of reconciliation. And that's why I say this so many times. The sacrament of confession. St. Augustine famously said, "In failing to confess, Lord, I would hide only you from myself, not myself from you." Because God knows our sin. As much as we try to hide it, as much as we try to live without the sense of sin because we despise the discomfort of guilt, God still knows us. But God also still loves us. Now, if every person in this church right now could believe that fully, that God loves us despite our sins, I guarantee you such a heavy burden would be removed that the roof would fly right off. And I'll be the first to say that how much this sacrament has meant and means to me in my life. Jesus was tempted in every way, yet remained without sin. I feel like just the opposite. I have fallen to every kind of temptation there is at one time or another. But God has always been there, always meeting me with tenderness in the sacrament of confession, always giving me a strength that is not my own, a strength to begin again. Now I notice that as each year of my life goes by, I go to confession more often. It's like my desire to go to confession as a half-life. We go every year, and then twice a year, and then every couple months, and then once a month, and every couple weeks. At this rate, by the time I'm 80, I'll be going to confession every 5 minutes. But God will never tire of forgiving me. In fact, He rejoices every time we go to Him and confess that we trust in His mercy by confessing our sins. Lord Jesus, I just praise You for showing me the depths of my sin more and more. Praise You when You do not allow me to ignore the reality of sin in my life. Lord, I praise You because it allows me the opportunity to give witness to Your mercy ever more and more. Yes, God never tires of forgiving us. He never tires of seeking us out, trying to find us when we hide. Let's not tire of seeking His mercy. Let's not spin our wheels and try to ignore the reality of sin. Let us never hide ourselves from Him.